This episode of The Seminarian is sponsored by Asbury Theological Seminary. If you aren't doing anything and you're like, I wish I had something, you need to start somewhere.
Seminarian. Noun. A student in a theological seminary. Duh.
Hey everyone, and welcome to The Seminarian, where we talk about seminary life, theology, and the things that form us as Christians. I'm Josh.
And I'm Joe. And in today's episode, we discuss our take on being an online or hybrid experience seminarian.
So there's this thing, a term that got coined probably before COVID, but obviously it became just by necessity what everybody did. Digital discipleship.
Digital discipleship.
Yeah.
Tell me, what does that entail?
The idea is it's the same as just discipleship as we know it, meaning you are learning about the Bible, theology. You're trying to facilitate spiritual growth, but the intake is all digital. So I think pretty much everybody does this to some degree. For instance, if you listen to a sermon online, maybe from a headline Bible teacher or a preacher, that's a form of digital discipleship. If you're listening to this podcast, even
this one, The Seminarian,
that everybody should subscribe to, yes, this would be a form of digital discipleship. Another avenue I can think of is we're both on the mission field at one point in time, and I would use FaceTime or Zoom for pastoral counseling, for fellowship, just to be encouraged by the believers back home. And so that's digital discipleship. It's through a digital means.
Kind of anything that connects you to somebody else to enhance your spiritual growth.
And I think another one, and this is kind of the point of this episode, is education, particularly a seminary education through digital means, i.e. being an online seminarian, which we are. Yeah. That's how we study Asbury Theological Seminary. And so I just want to talk a little bit and to give our listeners the opportunity or the insight of what's it like to be a seminary student via an online expression.
Right.
So what's been your experience so far?
It's been good. I mean, one of the big pros to it is the flexibility of it, being able to take classes around my busy schedule, having two little kids and working a job as well, being able to listen to a lecture after work or after I put the kids down or in the morning early, just whenever I can fit it in, really.
Yeah. Right, the flexibility. Yeah, because I have five kids and I work full-time as well, and it's just, it would not be a possibility for me right now, unless it was online. Like if I had to show up at a classroom at 8 a.m., I couldn't do it. And seminary is something I really want to do, you know? And so it makes that possible, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I think another benefit for me is, well, obviously the remote aspect. You know, there are a few Bible colleges in Colorado Springs, but I don't think they're, we have Denver Theological Seminary.
Right.
But that would be an hour and a half commute every day. And so being able to go to a top-notch seminary like Asbury Theological Seminary, and I'm doing it from my living room, that's awesome. I would not be able to do it otherwise.
Same. You'd have to move to the campus, and that's a lot.
Right. Yeah, you're displacing your whole family.
Yeah.
You know, and for us, I mean, all of our community is here, our home church.
We both grew up here.
Right. Family members, all of that. That'd be a pretty hard sell. For my marriage, at least, I don't think it would fly to be able to just pack up and move like that. And so it's awesome to be able to say, yeah, I'm in full-time seminary, and I get to kind of retain the rest of my life.
Yeah. What is a hybrid experience?
So the hybrid experience, as the name suggests, is kind of a blending of both in-person and online. And so the way that this works for us at Asbury is we have a hybrid campus that's literally right down the street from where we live.
Right.
And they fly in the professors to teach like an intensive. So you sign up for basic Christian doctrine, And then the professor flies out, and for 3 days, it's like 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and you're doing quite a bit of work module-wise, and it's just crammed into 3 days.
Wow.
But the rest of the time, it's all online.
Right.
And so that's exceptional. I know that's how Asbury does it. I think that there are different seminaries, different institutions do it maybe a little bit differently. I've heard of groups of students, kind of like cohorts, meeting at such and such a church, and then they kind of have like a watch party of the lectures or like a Zoom call with the professor that teaches from the campus back, you know, wherever they are. But you get the hybrid experience in the sense that you're with other students and other, you know, there might be like a facilitator as well, like a TA or something like that. So,
okay, well,
yeah, there are different ways to do it, but it's still very dependent on kind of this online. You're logging into a web portal, your homework assignments are there, right. The lectures are there, that sort of thing.
So hybrid, it still offers a lot of the same flexibility that just an online class would offer, but except for that weekend or whatever, you would have classes
right
at the campus.
Yeah, and in a lot of ways, it is the best of both worlds, right? So you get fellowship. You get to meet the students that later on you're dialoguing with, like on a forum or some kind of discussion group. It's like, okay, these aren't just names. I've met this person. I ate a meal with them. And I think that's super cool. And personally, my favorite was just being able to sit in a classroom, have that experience, and then hear from a professor and ask questions right there on the spot instead of sending like an email. That was awesome. It made me like my classes so much more.
The interaction, the face-to-face, actually sitting next to a fellow student,
right.
Not just seeing their post online.
Yeah. Yeah. It just made it, honestly, it made me want to be in person more.
Right.
So it's kind of like, man, this is awesome. I'm glad I got it, but dang, it would be awesome to be in Wilmore. Like, it'd be awesome to be in campus where this isn't just 3 days of a semester. Every day would be like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, again, that's a benefit. It just makes you kind of want a little bit more. But going to kind of the pros and the cons of online, because I think the online seminary experience, I don't think it's for everyone.
Yeah.
I think it might be for most people even, but maybe not for everyone.
Yeah.
And so for our listeners, I think this is kind of being able to index, okay, you know, I lean to this side or that. Obviously, like we've talked about, a huge pro is just being able to be remote. You don't have to be at that actual seminary. You can be in your hometown, especially now that I'm thinking about it, a huge benefit too is for a lot of people that go to seminary are pastors, like in vocational ministry as they're doing the studies. And so they're not abandoning their flock or their congregation. They're able to do kind of both simultaneously.
Right. Yeah.
And then I think, as we mentioned again, the flexibility of I can schedule my life out to where it facilitates. I've got 2 hours of time I can spend on seminary, and then you cram that in or do whatever. That's pretty awesome. And
yeah.
I think that would work really well for people who are driven.
You're right.
And they're good at managing their time already. I think, though, kind of going to the con side now, that if you have trouble scheduling your time well, if you're a procrastinator, I could easily see all the assignments and stuff just adding up. Wouldn't you agree with that? What's been your experience?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've had classes where there isn't a specific due date. I mean, it's structured. The class is structured by modules that open each week, but they're not specifically due that week. So it's easy to fall behind. Mm. And if you get like weeks behind, you'd be,
in trouble.
Yeah, you'd be in big trouble. So it definitely requires the drivenness that you were saying, being able to schedule out and sit down and do the work.
Chip away at it, yeah.
Yeah, so you don't get behind. And so procrastination is not helpful.
So if you are a procrastinator, maybe the better experience for you would be like you have to wake up, your alarm goes off, you head over to class, you sit, so you're reading it, you're absorbed in it, and then it's just very visceral and present. And so it kind of gives motivation and impetus to like stay on it. It's not a right. back burner thing, which I could see the online experience being just very auxiliary and kind of back burner. You get what you put into it, right, as of anything, but it's not in front of you all the time.
Right. And for me, I went into this first semester just, one, I was really excited. Like, I wanted to do seminary for a long time. And I love studying the Bible and
you're kind of doing it before. Yeah, that's how you were spending your time already.
I already loved going to a coffee shop and just reading and studying.
Yeah.
And I've already done some of my own personal study. And so that helped me to find that drive to continue and to...
But you're a weirdo. Yeah. You really are. Like, I remember going into coffee shops. I didn't know you were there, you know. I'd go to Wayfinder Coffee and you're there like finishing up Greek 2. And you've been doing that for months. And you're like, oh yeah, I just come here every day and I study Greek.
That's weird. I don't know what you're talking about. That's totally normal.
Right. Yeah. So I think that, you know, if you don't have a passion for these kind of studies, you're paying for it too. I mean, it's expensive.
That's a big motivator right there.
Yeah.
Like if you fail, you have to retake this class and you're paying for it.
Right.
And it's not cheap.
Yeah. There might be some differences as to the price of credit hours in person versus online, but I found, at least in my initial research, it actually stays the same for a lot of these institutions. So you have to make the best use of that. I think another con that we kind of touched on a little bit is just the lack of community with the other students and the professor. I miss those relationships. Right. I feel like it can be slightly isolating and siloing. And I know that our school does a really good job of trying to mitigate against that by they offer things like a mentor. So I meet with a mentor once a week and we have touch points about what I'm learning. And that's great to be able to process that with someone. I also have online, it's just through Zoom, but we have a little cohort that I meet with other students and we talk about what we're learning and we pray for one another. And so there are ways to mitigate that, but for the most part, you're by yourself. Like this is on you, you know, and you may not ever see your professor in person, like on a Zoom call or anything, unless they choose to offer that.
Right. Yeah. I took a class this last semester that was entirely online. And the only interactions you give the professor are really the comments that he makes on your posts or on your papers, those types of things. Yeah. So you don't really get any of that face-to-face interaction.
Right. And if you can contrast that with seminarians that actually attend in person, you know, they're like, oh, professor whoever, or doctor whoever, oh, they're such a great guy. I love, you know, this, that. And you're just kind of like, yeah, I got like a profile picture of that person. That's like the only thing I really know about them. And so that can feel distant.
Yeah. So if you're the kind of person that really needs that interaction with the teacher to help you learn the material well, then maybe the online experience wouldn't be for you.
Right. I think with that too, the same kind of weakness of the online experience is the lack of immersion. So there is something about, you know, walking through the halls of a seminary, seeing the deep history. Asbury Theological Seminary has been around for 100 years.
Wow.
And I look at their website and I see all these different buildings and halls. And I really wish I was there a lot of the time. Like, man, that would be such motivation to like, I am a seminary student. Like it just starts to graft into your identity a little bit more versus when you're online, you're like, I don't know.
My computer.
Yeah, I'm a millennial. Like I'm like everybody else. Like it doesn't really give you that kind of master status where it's like, no, this is something I really identify with. It's just, it can feel again, like you're not really an authentic seminary student.
That's why you have to buy the sweatshirt.
Yeah, I did.
You got to get the merch, you know?
So I bought the hoodie. I wear it whenever I've got a hard paper due. And I'm a seminary student. I am
a seminary student. That's who I am.
Yeah, it helps. It gives me that
you wake up in the morning and look in the mirror like, I am an Asbury Theological Seminary student.
I can do this. You are smart. You are beautiful. Yeah. So it can feel that way. And so I think in future episodes, we're going to give some tips on time management and some study hacks, because I'd like to think Joe, you and I are pretty, we have to be pretty good at this kind of stuff because we're working full time and we've got families. I do want to talk a little bit more philosophically about digital discipleship as a whole, because I think that while not everyone may become a seminary student online or in person, that there are other ways that we can make use of technology and the resources that are available online. Just at the tips of your fingers, you can access such great content like never before, truly. I mean, I was thinking about the Romans Road and how that allowed Paul to travel and plant all of these churches or visit all of these churches. And it was because there was a road system that allowed him to get there. Right. You know? And so the gospel went out so much further. And there have been these technological developments. The Gutenberg Press
right.
is another one. And I think that's amazing how just one invention, it just extended the reaches of Christianity and the gospel and resources that we still use today. And in many ways, I see digital discipleship like the Roman Road or like the Gutenberg Press, where it is reaching places that would otherwise be totally impossible.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I think like there are countries that literally just don't have any seminaries there, and people can get a top rate education from a seminary back in the States or Europe or wherever, and they're able to do it as long as they have a Wi-Fi connection.
Right. Yeah.
So
that's amazing.
I think, the downside maybe to digital discipleship is Hebrews, I think chapter 10, somewhere in there, it talks about not neglecting the meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. And I think with COVID, everybody was watching sermons online.
Yeah.
And then they're kind of like, this is sweet. This is, I can like eat my Lucky Charms and I don't have to dress up, don't have to do my hair, don't have to get the kids ready. We can just watch on the TV.
It's basically the homeschool version of church.
Yeah. And so I think it has become that, I mean, that was written so long ago, but do not neglect the meeting together as is the habit of some. It's like very habitual for our generation, our time right. and age. And yeah. so that is a con.
Yeah. On the flip side, with seminaries specifically, the intention isn't to replace community. Right.
So right. Good point.
For a seminary, the expectation is that their students would have a church body that they're plugged into and serving.
And they go in
and
person.
Going in person, yeah, especially online, hybrid. They expect you to have a church, and they expect you to have that community already and not replace it.
So it is kind of using those means as they were intended and not right. like, oh, my MacBook Pro is all the discipleship I'll ever need. You know, I can access everything I want from here.
Right. Yeah,
that's a good point. Well, as you're listening to The Seminarian, hopefully we are bringing you valuable resources. And we have a list. It's going to be listed in our show notes. But we wanted to make you aware of some really top-notch seminary or seminary-like education that you can get online, oftentimes for free.
For free or really cheap.
Yeah, which is excellent. So the first one we wanted to mention is a website. It's www.biblicaltraining.org. And you've taken courses. Can you explain biblicaltraining.org a little bit to us?
Yeah, it's really simple, really easy to use. You just get on their website or they have an app as well. And basically you just sign up for a course and then you just listen to the lectures as you go.
And these are, I mean, it's not just like anyone, you know, these are top-notch scholars
from major seminaries all around the world, really.
And they're giving like real courses.
Right.
For free. I mean, you just sign up.
Yep. You don't get
like homework or something.
Yeah, there's no homework, but you do get other resources that go along with it. Sometimes they have notes and such, but you do get the actual lectures from the professors, which is really awesome.
And when I think I've only done one course on it, but I mean, I saw some of our professors, even like Craig Keener, Ben Witherington III, Timothy Tennant, and again, scholars and professors from other seminaries. And it's pretty awesome. The layout's really good. You could do some serious learning.
Yeah, for sure. Another one is www.christianleadersinstitute.org.
Yeah, I've seen this one, and especially in the missional arena, I think they do a really good job of disseminating Christian seminary-like education, and they have a huge international pool. What's really cool about them as well is they do try to give like credit or diplomas of sorts. They kind of give a diploma of completion.
Okay.
And that's valuable for some denominations, you know, to be able to say, hey, I went through this course, I'm certified in these kind of ways. It's not, you know, like a master's kind of accreditation, but it's still valuable. And I think that that's really cool. Another one that we saw is the Bible Project. Very, very popular with their videos that you can see on YouTube. Really great education there. But they just in the last 2 years, I think, they created the Bible Project Classroom. And it is much more of a deep dive than their videos. And so you get into all sorts of book studies, theme studies, just Old Testament survey type things. It's all based on the Bible, which is cool. And it's very engaging. Yeah, it's just great.
Quality stuff for sure.
Yeah. And then we also saw, was it Zondervan does?
Zondervan, it's called Master Lectures.
Okay.
And you can get it as an app. And that one actually, it does cost for a subscription, but it's not too expensive. And you get access to dozens and dozens of classes with, again, high quality teachers from seminaries, scholars from all around the world. You could study Greek, biblical Greek. You could study biblical Hebrew.
That's awesome.
Specific books of the Bible with high quality commentators. Yeah, you get the nine yards with that one. So that one was also a really good resource.
One that I did with some, I used to pastor young adults, and we did master lectures, Grasping God's Word, which is like an introduction to hermeneutics.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. I mean, it was a lot of that teaching was delivered in a very easy to access, understandable way. And it had the companion book, Grasping God's Word. So yeah, I could recommend that one.
Taught
for sure.
By the authors, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Of the book.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's great.
That is cool. And then obviously, you know, we are online seminarians, and there are lots of seminaries that have online programs. Dallas Theological Seminary, Westminster Theological Seminary, Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, Denver. I mean, the list just keeps going on and on.
Yeah.
Almost every seminary is going to offer courses, and some actually offer free courses. So they're basically just saying, hey, here's what you can expect as an online seminary student, kind of like try before you buy experience.
Right.
And anyone could take those. And those are literally the courses that they have. Again, maybe without the professor engagement or involvement of grading papers, commenting on things and pushing you in that kind of a way. But still, it's all the same content that you would get as a seminary student, even in person, which is really, really cool. I do want to say though, with all of this free, often free content, if you aren't doing anything and you're like, I wish I had something, you need to start somewhere. And I think the things that we listed are great places to start, but know that it doesn't replace seminary.
Right.
And that there are a lot of parts and aspects, components that you really do have to just straight up enroll in the school.
Right.
I mean, the most obvious one is to be credited for a degree, you know? So you're not going to be able to go to this free stuff and have a board that kind of approves, hey, we are granting you the status of an MDiv or whatever that is. Even if you did exactly all the same coursework, you know, you have to have that involvement. And I think that's important too, because I've had professors in very constructive ways say like, hey, you know, if you really want to learn, or if you want to increase your abilities and skills as a minister, you need to pay attention to this. And every time I get feedback like that, that's invaluable.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the feedback that really makes it worth it in a lot of ways.
It's like an apprenticeship, right? So you're a journeyman or journeywoman, and you have to have that master or expert to help guide you through your seminary experience. And so you just can't get that by watching a YouTube video.
Right. And all of us, I mean, you ever read a book and you finish the book and it's like, you think you could know that until you're actually tested. And then you find out you didn't learn anything, you know, or you listen to the podcast or watch the YouTube video. And then you think that you're a scholar on that topic, but you really didn't learn that much as much as you thought you did, you know? So it takes that testing. It takes the feedback to realize, oh, I need to grow in this way, or I need to pay attention more, stuff like that to help you.
No, that's so true. I think we can almost liken it to a personal trainer kind of in the fitness and maybe dieting scene, right? It's like anybody can pull up a fitness plan. Just search Google for a fitness plan. Anybody can get recipes or some kind of diet that they can be on. But the reason that you pay big bucks for a personal trainer is for the accountability, for the feedback of, hey, your form is off here. You need to fix this, that, or the other.
Right.
For the encouragement. You know, all of those things, that's just the human condition. We need that to be able to really grow and thrive. And so I think it's very akin to how you're treated at a seminary, at least a good one, because like at Asbury Theological Seminary, I'm kind of blown away by all the things that they offer. And I know that they're putting a lot of thought into, there is a difference. There's a difference between the in-person seminarians and the online. We're called global students. And so, you know, like I mentioned before, they offer mentorship. They offer pastoral counseling that if you're going through things, you know, you can shoot prayer requests. They offer all of these like events and different things that you can tune in. Their chapels, you can watch their chapels and you can chat on the forum there. So they're trying their best to really close that gap and just journey with you in the whole experience.
Right. So give me an example of your schedule.
Right.
What are you like doing online, hybrid? What do you do on a daily basis?
Yeah, that's a great question. So for me, and I imagine for you as well, it really starts with scheduling things. So the calendar is my best friend, right? So I get in there and I put in, okay, this is due on this date. I need to read this chapter. And I just try to take whatever is due and pace it out throughout my week, so that I'm always on top of it. I'm always getting reminders because like we mentioned before, otherwise it would just pile up and you would just be doing really half-hearted work just to get through it rather than having the time to process it and pray about it and go to the word about what you're learning and stuff. And so for me, it looks like waking up a lot earlier than I want to. You know, I'm usually up, dressed, ready to go at 6 a.m., and then I'll go to Starbucks or something and I'll start reading or I'll watch a lecture. And I do that for as long as I can, usually until about 9 a.m. And then, you know, work starts kicking in for me and I've got to get on the ball there. And then when I come home from work, put my kids to bed, spend some time with them, then I'm staying up usually until 11, 12 and working on papers or something. Because that's just my lifestyle. I'd be really distracted, and I wouldn't be a good husband or father or seminary student unless I kind of segmented those things.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, mine's similar. So I can't get work done at home, really.
not with two little ones.
It's not easy at all, and I don't have an office at home, so I really do have to get out. So I'm usually up in the morning. I leave before everyone else is up. And I go to where all the other moms go, Panera. I go to Panera.
Yes.
Yeah.
You do.
Oh, man. I shouldn't have shared that.
You should have said Starbucks.
I should have said Starbucks. I used to go to Starbucks, but if you're listening, Panera. They need to sponsor our podcast. But anyways, they offer, you know, unlimited sip clubs. So you get as many drinks as you want for paying for a membership. So actually, for all of the stigma that might go along with that, it's actually here in Colorado Springs, especially. It's basically the men's small group capital of the city. Literally sat there, and there's four or five men's small groups happening all at the same time.
So it's like you're in seminary.
Seriously, it is the seminary experience right there.
It's like, the hybrid, the other hybrid experience.
I'm like looking over and that guy's in seminary and that guy over there is studying the Bible and that guy over there is, it's just like, it's wild. But anyways, that's my routine is to get up early, go, and I work in the evening, so I'm usually doing my seminary work all morning till about lunchtime. Then I usually go home, spend some time with the family before I go to work. And I work late, so that by the time I get home, it's time to go to bed, basically. But
you make, you reminded me of a point, which is we're full-time, right? So we're taking at least 9 to 12 credit hours at any given time.
It's about 3 to 4 classes.
Right. And for our listeners, though, you know, maybe you don't have that much time.
Right.
But you would like to progress in some way. You could just take one course.
Right.
Like, that's so easy. Just something that interests you, something you want to grow in. You just sign up for a course. It's financially pretty feasible. It's going to take a while. If you're going for a degree, it's going to take you a while, but you could do it. It's not a this or that. It's a and kind of solution. And so I think that's pretty awesome.
Right. Yeah. That is a great option. Yeah.
So just kind of in summary, in our digital age, it comes as no surprise that there are a myriad of discipleship resources offered online, and a seminary education is no exception. As we have discussed, you can enroll in some of the finest theological institutions and never have to leave your house.
It's true. That said, for most people, in-person interactions are invaluable, and thus a few seminaries have embraced a hybrid model, offering the best of both worlds. We both really appreciated our online and hybrid seminary experiences thus far. And while there are moments that we wish we were on campus, in our season of life, without an online option, seminary simply wouldn't be possible for us.
True. Yeah, totally. But these are just our experiences, and we'd love to hear your tales as a digital disciple and discover what you think about the online seminary experience. Let us know in the comments section of the podcast episode page, which you can find at seminarian.life. And being the tech-savvy seminarian that you are, we're giving you the benefit of the doubt here. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and the Instagrams so you can be in the loop.
Until next time, thanks for joining the conversation today.